Welcome to this July 2019 Parkinson's Recovery Support Group gathering. As I suspect most of you are aware, our members really are living in countries all over the world, so we are truly a global support group community. The idea, the purpose, the intent of our gatherings each and every month, the last Monday of the month, is to provide support, information, and resources to individuals currently searching for options and natural methods to find ways to reverse whatever neurological symptoms they might currently be experiencing. As is the custom of our support group gatherings, I want to first provide a brief overview of the activities that I've sponsored here over the previous month. I then have two fascinating questions that have been submitted, and I want to read those and provide some comments after meditating and researching and thinking about each of those questions. And then, of course, we will want to connect in with those of you who called in and be able to have a conversation with you. Remember, there's a chat room window here, and so if you have follow-up issues, questions you'd like to be able for us to address today, be sure to just type those in, and we will be able to read those and make sure that those are addressed as well. So what's been going on here at Parkinson's Recovery in the month of July 2019? Please take some time to connect in to your Parkinson's Recovery member websites. And be sure, please, to connect in and listen to the meditations. Now, there is a week meditation that extends usually anywhere from 28 minutes to 32 minutes. It takes a little time to listen, but it really sets you into a positive frame of mind. The topic this week of the meditations happens to be release the fears. And then, as I'm sure most of you are aware, every day, Monday through Friday, I also post a daily meditation that builds on the longer meditation. As we are going to discuss briefly here in this support group gathering today, thought forms are a challenge for us all. The reason I have developed the Parkinson's Recovery Support Group websites, the reason I spend a lot of time every week updating those and providing updated daily information is to provide the support that I think is really essential to ensure that those thought forms that can undermine and sabotage recovery are all of a sudden undone and released and unglued so that you can realize that, yes, of course, it may be that you got a little setback today or yesterday, but the fact is that recovery is happening for you. Now, in terms of actual radio programs, I have a number that I sponsored over this previous week. The first covered a new product that's really just been developed. They actually don't even have the marketing information for this. It is a product that focuses exclusively on this enzyme that is called ME3 that produces glutathione in the body naturally. Now, a number of you have been taking that, and I think with good success. The product previously was called RegActive Liver Detox. Now, they keep running out of supply of that particular product. I know it's frustrated everyone who's found that that also has been useful. So the RegActive Liver Detox product has the ME3, but also has this liver detox. You're supposed to take two a day. Now, the new product, the ME3, it's also called RegActive. It just primarily focuses on the ME3 enzyme. So that's the enzyme that enables the production naturally of glutathione. Keep in mind the reason why this is really such a wonderful research development, and I might add a recent development, is that you don't have any issues with a blocking of the glutathione in the blood-brain barrier. So yes, you can get infusions of glutathione, you can get nasal sprays, all of those can be effective. And actually, unfortunately, they can also be somewhat expensive. But the ME3, because it enables the body to produce glutathione naturally, I think is a wonderful option. So be sure to check out that new research discovery and that new product that's, of course, discussed here at Parkinson's Recovery. On the radio show, we also posted information about an eye drop called CAN-C. I know a number of you have been taking that. And all of a sudden, I stepped back and I realized, you know, I haven't told anybody about the CAN-C eye drops for a number of years. I did make an announcement, I think about 6 years ago, to my audience. Look, if you have issues with cataracts or other eye problems, the research indicates that the CAN-C eye drops is a wonderful option for you to consider. So I actually have purchased the CAN-C now for 10 years from the manufacturer. I get a little discount, and then I'm able to sell that, make a little extra profit that I use to support Parkinson's recovery services. So CAN-C eye drops, I just want to say, are a wonderful option if you are at the point of having some vision challenges, if cataracts seem to be problematic, if you've decided you don't want to get the surgery, laser surgery for cataracts, and you'd like to find a natural way to reverse the cataract. CAN-C is a viable option. The research indicates that it's successful in 90 to 95% of users. It's not perfect. It doesn't happen that everyone is experiencing relief and clearing of their cataract, but in most cases, it really is successful. It's not instant. It takes an average of about 3 months, so it's not the kind of thing you can purchase and say, oh, great, I'm good to go. It's a kind of a lifetime thing. And finally, just for those of you, so that I can explain this as clearly as possible, the CAN-C really does just one thing. It gets inflammation in the eye under control. It's not directly dissolving the cataract at all. And as such, because inflammation is suddenly under control, because the balance of acidity and alkaline all of a sudden turns to the place where it needs to be, your own body is the one that reverses whatever process occurred to create the problem in the first place, the cataract or the other eye problems. The CAN-C, because it gets inflammation under control, also is something that reduces the problems with other eye conditions. So I think it's a solid kind of a research development. That was actually about 15 years ago, and it's something that's worth considering, again, if you'd like to avoid cataract surgery and if you'd like to be able to pursue natural methods. So be sure, if you don't know about CAN-C, to at least do your own due diligence, look at the research evidence, and see what you think. Another program that I posted on the radio show this month was a Q&A. In other words, I sent out an email, just one, and I said, what questions do you have? Many of you members submitted questions, and so I responded to each of those questions. Now, of course, posted here on the What's Up with Robert website, you've got a recording of my answers to all of those questions. Now, obviously, you're not going to be interested in some of the questions and answers, but some of them you will be. So I just listed all of the questions that I addressed in that post so you can see if any of that would be of interest to you or not. I also posted a wonderful presentation by natural pharmacist Ross Pelton, who discusses pulsed electromagnetic frequency therapy. Ross does a wonderful, wonderful job of explaining the benefits and the value of that particular therapy, so be sure to check that out. Ross has a strong recommendation of a very specific technology that he wants to recommend, so if you're called out to pursue additional information about that, be sure to let me know or let Ross know, and we'll be happy to provide additional information about the kind of technology that we would strongly recommend that you consider. Now, finally, there is a course that I'm offering, actually only one course this summer, and it is titled Tame Tremors. Now, of course, all of you don't have the issue of tremors, but I want you to know that it's the only time I'm going to be offering that course this year. So this is it. It starts August the 3rd. That's this Saturday. We're going on weekends for this course. So it'll be a Saturday and a Sunday kind of a course experience. And, of course, you get replays, as is always the custom. There's a link on your member page with the discount for members that's, you know, the same as the early bird. So the early bird is off for others, but for you, I want to make sure that you can get that at the discount. So if you're called out to search for and become knowledgeable about the many, many different natural options that are helping people tame their tremors, then that's the course for you. And we invite you to join us. So you can get the registration link there on the member website. It's the one that's what's up this week from Robert. So you go onto the member website. Again, remember there are 12 different pages, and you'll see the explanation there. Finally, I've got one other little heads-up announcement. There is, according to the information I've just received the last couple of days, a new product that this company, CTFO, has been developing. It's not yet listed on their website, but it's going to be called CBDA Gold. Now, I also have posted on the websites information about the difference between CBDA and CBD. CBDA, which is what this CTFO company is now selling in their CBD products, is a much preferred form of CBD, and they explain why. Now, what I wanted you to know, just as a heads up, is they have a new product that, according to an interview that I just heard with a doctor who's involved in this development, is promoted to be able to address chronic pain. It's going to be called CBDA Gold, G-O-L-D. It's going to be a new product. We don't obviously have any evidence about that. But apparently, the expectation is that it's going to be able to address people who have dependencies on opiates because of their pain. And so the idea that I think is exciting is if you find you've been in a situation where you had to resort to opiates to get the pain under control, it may be that this will be a wonderful alternative. So be on the lookout for this CBDA Gold product from the CTFO. I'll put out an email when the product is finally available. And again, I think I just want to stress, I think the focus for this is if you experience chronic pain. Now, I have the two questions that I want to read. One of them is relatively long and quite informative and fascinating. I think the kinds of revelations that we'll be able to discuss from this will help many of you. So the first question, Robert, I don't want to sound too negative, but I feel like I am losing ground in my fight with Parkinson's. I feel like I am getting weaker. My legs ache constantly and keep me awake at night. I go to boxing classes, and it just wears me out. The neurologist I see offers nothing but more medication. And just as a side note, that's what neurologists do. That's the option that they have to offer if you want to go see a neurologist. That's their specialty. And I continue. It is frustrating. I can't seem to get over the hump. It seems like I take two steps forward and then two steps back. And as a side note, in terms of recovery, I think that's a nice explanation of how the recovery process works. We'd like to believe that as we begin to take the steps that are necessary for healing, that we're going to get a little bit better every day. That's not the way it works, unfortunately. There will be days when you feel actually worse, and then all of a sudden that lifts, and guess what? You feel better. So it's a pretty rocky road in terms of the journey back to a successful recovery. The email continues, I don't have a problem with tremors, but my lower body from my lower back down to my feet is getting weaker. Exercise did not seem to help. I can only walk a short distance before tiring. As I said, I do not want to sound negative, but I could use some advice for my situation. Now, I want to tell all of you members, quite a bit of time since I received the email last week, meditating, thinking, analyzing, speculating about what I might offer in terms of options to consider. Now, the reason I began spending so much time with this is that initially, if there's weakness in the body, it is almost always a liver issue. So the liver has been compromised. There are too many toxins or heavy metals or infections in the liver, and that's what needs to be addressed. Now, the challenge with what's happening here is that the problem is localized. Now, that's not to say that the liver may not be an issue. And incidentally, because you are a person who actually enrolled in Jumpstart to Recovery, you have access to that online set of suggestions of how you can determine the cause of whatever imbalances currently exist in your body. So one of my ideas for you is, okay, maybe liver issue is it. I don't think it's the main issue, but it may be a contributing factor. You can test that out. Go on to the Jumpstart Recovery online course or look back at some of the recordings that we make available to class participants, the replays, and do some checks. Look at your feet, look at your eyes, look at your teeth, and see if you can find some evidence that your liver is compromised. And if you do get evidence of that, then you might want to spend a little time with investigating the possibility of some liver detoxes that are gentle. The next question I've got for you is, might sound a little strange, are your shoes worn more on one side of the sole than the other, say more on the outside or more on the inside? And if that's the case, then I think one possible remedy is to begin to consider how you're holding your body when you're moving. You talk about exercises not helping. Now, clearly, I've done how many interviews with people who advocate exercise? I'd say 20 over the last 15 years. We know that exercise makes a huge difference in terms of providing symptomatic relief. But in your case, it sounds like your body is telling you, hey, wait a minute, could you please lay off the vigorous exercise for right now? I think your body is sending you some signals to right now take a pause or at least slow down the vigorous exercise. So I can see the thought form, which is well founded in all of the revelations that I've been able to reveal in all of the interviews that I've done. Exercise, everybody out there, get out every day. Exercise, exercise, you'll feel better. And that's true. But it seems to me your body right now is telling you something differently. I don't think the answer is going to reside in strengthening muscles or in vigorous exercise. In other words, you're trying to force your body in a place that it's not prepared to go to right now. Now, you can return to vigorous exercise once this is healed. So I'm kind of saying, well, here's some things that you shouldn't do. Now you're probably thinking, oh, well, all right, so great, great. What do I do? And I'm thinking for you, instead of vigorous exercise, consider a therapy called Feldenkrais. I had posted here on the member websites where we've got the various interviews about the ability for having rock-solid walking, and these have to do with posture issues. We have a whole interview with an expert on Feldenkrais that we posted. I don't think it's still up. If you need me to reopen that, I'm happy to do that. But Feldenkrais is a gentle kind of a therapy. It's not vigorous in any sense of the word, and it helps people be able to adjust how they are holding their body when they walk and when they move, how they sit down, how they stand up. And they'll usually suggest some very gentle exercises you can do between appointments. I think Feldenkrais might provide some true benefit for you. So please consider that as an option. So the next question I've got for you is to ask the question, why do you have this problem? Really, what's going on? And my question is, well, are there any injuries that are possibilities? Have you been in a car accident? Have you whapped the lower back in any sense of the word? Can you have any reason why this might actually be occurring? So your muscles are tightening up, and it feels like maybe instead of thinking of that as a problem, maybe your body is actually protecting yourself. Maybe the fact is that it's holding your spinal column and the nerves in your spinal column in place. So it could be that there is some elasticity there that is creating a bit of a difficulty and creating a restriction in the blood flow. So it's possible that although the restrictions in the muscles are obviously problematic and disconcerting and probably painful, it may be that it's your body's way of making sure that your situation doesn't become worse. So think about that as a possibility. Now, I have a couple of other possibilities for you to consider. Now, these are all out-of-the-box ideas, approaches that I think you might find could be very useful. I think that I suspect, I speculate, obviously I do not know, but I speculate that one of the reasons for this incredible lack of oomph and energy in the lower part of your body is an oxygen starvation. So one possibility for you to test out that possibility is to perhaps get some hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatments to see if a pretty quick infusion of oxygen will help you provide some relief to that. My guess is you probably could get just one treatment or two treatments, and if that's right, you should be able to experience some degree of relief after getting those treatments. Now, another therapy that I would put high on the list is this electromagnetic field therapy that opens up the blood that flows through the capillaries of the body. So there's pretty clearly to me some restrictions in the oxygen and the blood flow there from your back all the way down to your lower extremities, and especially in those calf muscles. And the wonderful therapy that I think is one that has lots of different benefits for lots of different reasons is this electromagnetic field frequency therapy or pulse therapy that Ross Pelton, the natural compounding pharmacist, so eloquently described in what I posted for you recently. The device that I think is something that can provide just that relief is called the Beamer, B-E-M-E-R. I think that'd be well worth considering. I purchased one of those for my daughter. It's making a big difference. And I want to get one for our own family. We don't have the money right now, but Deborah and I have definitely decided that we want one for ourselves. It really is in terms of aging, if you want to be able to retain health and wellness and vibrancy and a full life force, quite frankly, the Beamer is the answer. Now, the discussion actually continues, so I want to read the next follow-up. And this, again, comes from the same person. My legs get tired when I walk more than a city block. I have to rest periodically, or I feel like I have to drag myself. My quadriceps and lower back take the brunt of the problem. My back feels like it is overworked. It aches and gets the feeling of the muscles being tied in knots. My doctor has told me that I have this problem because I have Parkinson's. I have not come across anybody with Parkinson's that has the same issue. And I just want to say as a side note, I have not either. And remember, I've been conducting research on this and interviewing over 1,000 people for 15 years. It's a new problem for me, which, by the way, is why I found I was drawn to think about this pretty extensively. The email continues. I have an X-rays and an MRI on my back, but they cannot find anything wrong. Well, that's useful and helpful. So there's not a tumor, there's not any kind of influence on your spine that's creating some difficulty with the passage of the blood through your capillaries and your veins and your arteries. The email continues. I have an appointment with a physical medicine doctor on Thursday. I feel like the problem has something to do with my back. There are no other symptoms involved. So I think I want to say, and you've probably heard me say this many times, I think when we use our own instinct, our own inner wisdom about these kinds of issues, we really have pretty good insight on what's going on. So I would say, hey, you've got a pretty strong insight that the problem has to do with your back. It's not really with your legs. Then I would say, okay, that's probably where the focus needs to be. It's a back issue. It's really not a leg issue. When people, for example, have issues with a knee, like a right knee, a lot of people think, oh, the problem is my knee. And actually, it's not. The problem is not your knee. The problem probably is your hips, and there's some issue with a misalignment in your hips. So when you have a localized problem of a physical anomaly in your body, the problem actually resides somewhere else in your body. Now, there's a final email, and again, this is the same person. I wanted to get back to you again. I was thinking about a message I sent to you earlier. I felt like I was being too negative in my first question. I'm sorry if I came across as being too negative. And let me say, no reason to be sorry. I think just being able to acknowledge that's where you are at is huge. As we all know, when we have these negative thought forms, they're not in our best and highest good. So the best thing we can do is to say, well, wait a minute. Why am I thinking this? Why am I being so negative? That's the first step in being able to transform these negative thoughts that are not in our best and highest good. The email continues. I have been feeling kind of frustrated lately. I read a book by a doctor named Okun, who is a real authority on Parkinson's. In his book, he compares PD to Alzheimer's. He says that one of the major differences is the time it takes for the disease to progress. And I just want to say, this is not in the email, this is my comment. When I read that, I thought, whoa, my goodness gracious. You know, there's this thought form out there that you've heard me discuss many times, and it is that there's this belief promulgated by people in authority that are saying, well, hey, you've got this diagnosis, and hey, I'm really sorry, but you're going to be getting worse every single year. It's not true. And here we have somebody else who's saying the very same thing. And now he's actually comparing this to Alzheimer's. So the argument that he has is, well, as everybody knows, once you have this dementia, you're going to get worse and worse, and then you croak. Guess what, people? Even that's not true. There is the light therapy, and I've interviewed one of the inventors of that from a company called Violight. He's got some new devices. They're called NeuroGamma, and also a device called X-Plus, and a number of you are using those. So the research is compelling when it looks to the positive impact that having that light therapy has on mental acuity, mental alertness, the ability to remember and to function in an executive decision way. So new therapies are coming out that are addressing problems of dementia, if you want to label it as Alzheimer's or not, and to then just assume, to assert that, oh, no, I'm sorry, Alzheimer's, once you've got that name, guess what, you're going to get worse. That, I think, is really awful. And it is also the case, I want to say, if people hold that belief, they go to a medical person and the medical person puts a name to their condition, rather than saying, well, you've got some issues here with your reasoning and mental functioning, so let's get to work and see if we can bring all of that back online. Instead of that, what people are saying is, oh, I'm really sorry, but we have a name for what you have. It's called Alzheimer's. And, of course, when you get that name, you're all of a sudden thinking, oh, no, I'm going to get worse and worse. Now, with that thought form, that's exactly what happens. You get worse and worse, period. So it's the thought form that winds up being the, quote, kiss of death, so to speak. The email continues. According to Dr. Okun, Alzheimer's progresses at a much faster rate. And again, I just want to say the assumption is that, first of all, if a person has a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, the diagnosis is, in fact, one that is accurate or reliable. A lot of those diagnoses are not. And we know that diagnoses of Parkinson's disease are seriously wrong in many, many cases. My own speculation is that 80% of diagnoses actually have nothing to do with Parkinson's symptoms or Parkinson's disease. They're actually caused by other kind of factors. That's why we developed the whole Jumpstart to Recovery program. The email continues. Lately, I feel like I am losing the battle. I seem to go in cycles. Right, and I just want to say that we all do that. That's exactly right. That's the challenge of being in a body, in a physical body on this earth. It's like we're doing well one day, and all of a sudden, blap, we're feeling depressed and down in the dumps. email continues. I have days or a series of days where I feel almost normal and then regress back to feeling worse than I was before. And again, I think that's typical of everybody, whether they have these neurological challenges or not. I get excited about the progress and then seem to get slapped back by the disease, and I'm back to square one. I'm hoping you can give some input about my situation. I would like to know if training with weights would help with building strength, especially in my legs. And for that, I think I answered previously, and I'll answer again. I don't think, from my sense of what might be going on, I don't think that would be a good option for you right now. I think your body is going to resist that. I think your body is telling you, lay off the weights for now. You can return to that once you heal the problem that you're experiencing. But right now, I think that's too aggressive. So, in terms of what you're describing here, what you're describing is the condition of what we would call a duality. Part of us wants to get well, and part of us subconsciously does not. So we're sabotaging ourselves in to a certain extent, and to another certain extent, we're doing exactly what we need to be able to recover our full life force. So it's called a duality. We all have dualities. It's not just you, let me assure you. Everybody in the body has a duality. So how do you clear out the resistance to being able to get well? What do you do about it? And the idea that I have for you after meditating quite a bit about this is to consider the fact that it's unconscious, it's not the kind of issue that can be solved or resolved by mentally addressing the problem or beating up on yourself because your thought forms are so negative. I think what I'd like to suggest to you is to go into a very different approach. And the suggestion that I have for you is energy psychology. So there are psychologists that go into the knowing space, they do muscle testing, and they try to figure out, okay, what's the source of what is blocking your ability to be fully committed to your recovery? So energy psychology, I think, would be an option that I would recommend you consider. There are other options, too. You can do some of them for free. They're called the body code or the emotion code. There's a chiropractor that's developed a whole technology called Bradley Nelson. I've got an interview with an energy psychologist, Dr. Steve Fenwick, that's quite fascinating that you can listen to, and he explains how the whole process works. I think it'd be well worth your time and effort to make some appointments with such a person and see if you can clear out some of that resistance that you are experiencing. It's frustrating because, again, as much as we'd like to be able to mentally just say, forget it, this is stupid, I know these thoughts are not in my best and highest good. The fact is that still there's something, again, at the level of the unconscious that's blocking your ability to get well. Now, having said all of that, and that's a pretty long answer to your set of questions, I've got one other idea for you. So it seems to me that what you have to do is to approach the challenge that you got in a multifaceted way. There's not going to be one simple resolution to what you're confronting. And I think a final idea I've got for you is why not get some of the bioacoustic therapy, some of the sound therapy. So I've had several interviews with Sherry Edwards over the years, and the reason this floated up as something I wanted to make sure and recommend to you as an option is that my own daughter, Adrienne, has really experienced some debilitating health problems, some very serious pain episodes every other day. I mean, so debilitating that she really couldn't even tolerate it. This has gone on for years, and it started 20 years ago. It was an occasional problem, and then more recently, it was every other day. So she spent 4 months in a hospital. They provided no relief. In fact, she got a whole lot worse. And so I began with her to explore lots of different other approaches, ways to be able to figure out how we could actually heal her condition. Nobody could figure out what was going on. None of the medical people had any answer. And it sounds like that's similar to your situation. Your medical people have done some tests. They don't have any logical explanation for the weakness and the challenges that you're currently experiencing with being able to walk and have some vibrancy in the cells of your legs and your body and your back. So what's the answer? And I just want to say, look, this sound therapy has really been wonderful for Adrienne. Her episodes have reduced now to a trickle. She's really much more functional now than she has ever been in several years, and I'm really now getting enthralled and interested in the whole technology of sound therapy or bioacoustics. So I'm going to begin to, when I get a little time, which I haven't had recently, be able to get into Sherry Edwards' website and begin to train myself on how to do this or join some of her classes. And I actually think the next step for the entire audience, and hopefully some of you will be interested, is we might be able to actually set up a course where we can all learn together from Sherry how to actually do the analysis of our voice prints and then create the sounds for ourselves so that we can continue to, you know, be healthy and vibrant. So that's my idea for you to consider. The other kind of comment that I want to make is when you actually get involved with this, it takes quite a bit of time and effort on their part to be able to do these analyses and be able to figure out what sounds you actually need. There is a cost involved, and I think when we got to the end of how much it costs for me to be able to provide the speaker and the tone box, which you have to have in order to be able to deliver the sounds and the analysis and everything else, I think the ultimate cost has been about $800 or $1,000. So it's not an inexpensive option, but I have to say, delighted and pleased and excited that at least we finally have something that is being able to provide her a way to, you know, to get well. She basically had lost her ability to function, and now that's been restored. So in terms of trying to figure out what might be the factors that are causing this problem, the bioacoustic technology allows an analysis of your voice print and can reveal some hints about what's going on, and then they create some sounds or tones that you can begin to receive, just like you take medicine, and that over a period of time allows you to be able to, you know, come back into balance. She's got some incredible testimonials from various people who had conditions that were similar to Adrienne's, where the doctors were saying, well, I'm sorry, but I think there's no solution for you, you're going to get worse, and you know, the end is near. Instead of that, what Sherry has found is she draws people just like that who have not been able to find any solutions from traditional medical technologies and have been able to really provide some wonderful relief. So I think that's an option worth considering for you. So I'm looking here at the chat room, and I don't see any follow-up discussions from there. I have a second question that I want to read. This one comes from Donna, and I'm going to quote now. Dr. Tom O'Brien talked about a, quote, gut pack test for the microbiome. Would most functional medicine doctors know what that means? Question mark. And I think, remember, I'm not a medical doctor, but my understanding from interviewing functional medicine doctors is that they do have tests to evaluate the bacterial composition of your gut. Yes. Now, whether they call that gut pack or something else, but I think the answer is yes. A functional medicine doctor would certainly be somebody who would be a specialist in being able to provide that support. The email continues. I don't see this test on his website, but he has many others listed. See for yourself, and they give me a link. So I believe, Donna, that the reason for that is that this particular individual, Tom O'Brien, is a doctor, but he's not a medical doctor. Now, he is a functional medicine person. I think you'll find him listed on the medicine, functional medicine directories. He's actually a nurse, and he's also a chiropractor, so he's able to label himself as a doctor because he's a chiropractor. As you know, we always call chiropractors doctors, but he's not a medical doctor. So he's kind of on a fine line of being able to provide medical support, and my guess is that this particular test must be a test that has to be prescribed by a medical doctor. So he really would be on thin ice if he took an order to do the test and receive some money, but he doesn't have a prescription for it because he can't write the script. So I would just say I think the reason is because he's got to go through a medical doctor to be able to make that happen. I'm sure he's got connections with medical doctors. So I'm guessing that if you simply called into his office and said that you're interested in that, they would be able to arrange to make that happen for you. So instead of being able to just order it directly, my guess is you have to do it otherwise. And so I think one of the kinds of things that I've always seen a lot of people do is what he does is he's a doctor, and so he labels himself as, you know, a doctor, and people don't realize, well, he's not actually a medical doctor. He's a chiropractor and a nurse, and two wonderful sets of qualifications to be sure, and he does wonderful work. But I think from my perspective, it's a bit misleading to always say doctor, you know, whatever. So I don't know if any of you have noticed, but I really try to shy away from ever saying to people, this is Dr. Robert Rogers. I know other people certainly label me as that. Some of the guests on my radio shows want to call me doctor every sentence that they say. And it is true. Technically, I am a doctor. I've been called a doctor now for 40 years. I'm a PhD. I've been a faculty member for many years at these big state universities. But I'm not a medical doctor. So I really shy away from being able to ever use the identity of a doctor. So Tom O'Brien is a person who is a valuable resource. I think he does wonderful work. And he's somebody that I think you can latch on to and find he can be very beneficial in terms of the support that he can provide. But I think you just have to recognize that he's not a medical doctor, and so he's got some constraints in being able to provide some of the support and services that you need to receive. And again, so you might want to go and consider going to a functional medicine doctor if you're interested in that gut kind of a test, and so you'll get that more directly. So now I'm checking the chat room. We don't have any follow-ups there in our chat room. So let me move over to see who's called in. And we've got a list of people who called in. And so is our custom. This is our support group gathering. And again, what I just want to say is just imagine that we are all gathered together in a room, although people here are calling in from all over the world. And all we want to do is just to check in with each person and find out, well, you have any updates, any suggestions of ideas or things that didn't work for others to consider, or any responses to any topics whatsoever pertaining to what's up with you. So let me open up the first line here to Bill and say, hello, it's great to see you connecting in today.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. We've had gorgeous weather here, which is a little unusual, but I'm doing well.
Yeah.
And you?
I'm doing pretty good. I wanted to ask you a question about this glutathione ME3 product.
Yeah.
To your knowledge, what, because I've just started to take that, what symptoms, Parkinson's symptoms, would that address if it was working? In other words, what am I looking for in terms of an improvement in what area?
So I'm not sure, Bill, that I have a specific direction that you can look at in terms of specific symptoms. The big picture for glutathione is it's a building block for the entire body. It affects everything in the body. And so the difficulty with these neurological symptoms is that the glutathione tends to be severely and seriously depleted, which means that lots of systems begin to go haywire, quite frankly. So it's pretty clear if you look at the research that what are the nutrient deficiencies of persons who have these neurological challenges, and almost at the top of the list would be glutathione. There's also CoQ10, there's also the vitamin Bs, depending on the person's genetic composition, but glutathione is really seriously depleted. And so when you look at people who have a variety of symptomatic challenges, for example, fatigue, difficulty sleeping, you name it, lots of different kinds of symptoms, well, there's a chance that one of the factors, not the only, but one of the factors that contributes to a lot of those kinds of challenges winds up being glutathione deficiency. So being able to boost that can really boost overall well-being and health. So if you're kind of thinking, all right, so if I've got some mobility restrictions here or if I have some tightness there in my body, is that going to be relieved? And I think in essence, we can't say one way or another for sure whether that'll be facilitated, but I think we can say when you get your glutathione back up and at full capacity, that a lot of systems in your body are going to work better. You know, your thyroid's going to work better. Your adrenals are going to work better. Your kidneys, your liver, I mean, everything basically is going to function a little bit better. So it's kind of a general answer. I think that it can lead to pretty serious problems if you have this persistent and prolonged deficiency in glutathione. I mean, health problems, which you don't want to have. So in a way, it's almost going to facilitate health in a general sense rather than specifically with these neurological challenges.
Because I've seen videos probably on YouTube, not recently, but years ago, taken of people who were on the IV glutathione treatment and apparently demonstrating that they can walk better and stand up straighter and so forth.
That's exactly right.
Product.
Yes, that's exactly right. And the person who really was the pioneer of that, and he took a lot of criticism for this approach, was Dr. Perlmutter.
Yeah.
He's in Florida. And so all that's legitimate stuff. I mean, he's not making up those videos. Those videos are not of people who are actors. You have to always be suspicious, you know,
right,
when you see, look at these people, how much better they are. No, that's all legitimate stuff. And the other kind of a story that you want to keep in mind is, okay, we see here's the before, here's the after, they're getting IV infusions. Look, this is the answer. Well, if they stop getting the IV infusions, the symptoms revert.
Right.
So the challenge with the IV infusions is not that they're a bad idea, they're a great idea. The problem is expense. I don't know how much doctors charge typically, but I think some of the members of my listening audience were doing the treatments from Dr. Perlmutter, and this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I think it cost $100 a treatment. They were getting 3 a week, and what they wound up telling me is, well, they did it a couple of months, and, oh, it made such a big difference, and then they said that I had to stop. I couldn't afford it. I thought, oh, shoot. So, I'm convinced, yes, glutathione is huge, and it seems to me that there are different options of being able to infuse it in your body. There's a naturopath doctor here in Seattle, Dr. Lori Mishley. She's been a guest on the radio show, I think, 3 times over the years. She's just wonderful. She's a researcher and deals with people with Parkinson's. And Dr. Mishley had been prescribing the nasal glutathione spray for her patients. And she found that they were reporting back so much improvement. And she could see the improvement. She could document the improvement. Well, apparently, the next part of my story is that she did an actual study. She designed a study to see if she couldn't actually document the positive impact of this nasal glutathione spray. And I guess the actual results were not that encouraging. So she got a bit discouraged about the research evidence, but she continues, I think, to recommend that because she sees so much improvement in her patients. So in the end, I just want to say I think that glutathione is a big issue. I think it's something everybody ought to take into serious consideration. The ME3, that specific product that just was, I think I might have been one of the first people to actually get that in supply. I had to order it 3 times because we had so much interest in it. But in the company, you know, I called up and I was trying to get the RegActive liver detox. And it had been out of supply week after week. It's like, oh, this is really frustrating. People are finding that's useful, but we can't get it in supply. And said, well, we've got this new product. We just came out, and it's just ME3. And I thought, well, give me some. that's what I want. So I'm now getting just the ME3, not the liver detox combined with that. It's you take less. You only have to take 1 a day, and it just focuses on the glutathione. So I don't have any specific evidence to report back. It's, you know, we just had people that just have ordered in the last couple of weeks, so I don't have any reports back on people who can tell me how they're doing. But for me, I do know that the research on this enzyme is solid, and I do know that it's going to produce the results that we hoped it would. It's just we don't have any evidence for that right now.
Okay. Well, I'll give it a, that's good enough for me. I'll give it a try and give it a month or two or three, and I'll let you know.
Thank you, Bill. That would be so appreciated. It's so new. The more evidence I can get back, the more it'll help me understand what I can tell people about. Okay, this is something that we've got pretty solid evidence is going to help. Right now, it's so new. I obviously have to say, well, we don't know yet, but we're optimistic. So let us know.
Okay, I'll be your guinea pig for you.
Thank you. And thanks for being here, Bill.
Thank you, Robert.
So let me now open up the line to Donna and say, hello, how are you?
Hi, Robert.
Hi there.
Hi there.
So what's up with
you? What's up with you?
Oh, well, there's so many options on therapies that sometimes there's just not enough time in a day to do all the therapies.
Isn't that the truth? So many. I never thought that would happen. I thought we'd maybe have three or four good options that people would consider, but it's been a bit overwhelming, hasn't it?
Well, when you move slowly to begin with, it's hard to get things done. Then you have to do your exercise, and you have to watch your diet, and you have to make sure you drink enough water, and you make sure you have enough hours of good, solid sleep. And then you do all these therapies, too. I mean, you can spend your whole life doing nothing but taking care of your body. Really, it's become a full-time job. But maybe that's what it has to be. But it's frustrating sometimes.
I think you state what a lot of other people feel as well. It really is frustrating because you can't do everything. And then, of course, there's a challenge with being able to figure out, well, which kind of options do I want to focus on? What do I want to do? And the other frustrating piece of this that I've done a lot of thinking about is, it seems as though as I look at younger people, younger family members in my own family, they have these young, vibrant bodies, and I look at their diets, and I have to say their diets are pretty horrible, and yet they're vibrant, they're strong, they're able to do all these kind of wonderful things as if it doesn't matter what they eat or what they do. And, of course, what ultimately happens is that over time we have to begin to be more careful about what we eat and how we move, how we exercise, and taking care of our bodies in lots of different ways. So it's frustrating because when we were younger, we didn't have to worry about any of that. And I know that's true for me, too. I mean, I didn't really think a flip about what I was eating or what I was doing. I just got on with my life. So you describe something that for me is also truly frustrating. And, of course, when I founded Parkinson's Recovery 15 years ago, I didn't have a clue that this is what was going to happen. I didn't know that there would be all these dozens and dozens of options for people, and I didn't know that there would be so many different factors that are causing the symptoms. So one of the reasons why there are so many therapies is that it depends on what the primary causal agent is as to what kind of therapy is going to be most useful. So we kind of opened up a quagmire of options. And for you, it's frustrating. For me, it's frustrating. I think for everybody else in the Parkinson's Recovery audience, it's really, really difficult. The one kind of a comment I've got for you as I was hearing your expression of frustration that we all can resonate with is that at least as we are doing our various attentive activities to nurture and heal our body, we can be mindful. We can bring ourselves into the present moment. So instead of worrying about have I done enough today, all we can really do that probably is the most beneficial is to just take each activity in its own time, its own pace, and be present to that activity, not be worrying or anticipating if you're going to be able to finish everything that you had on your agenda for the day. And then if you don't get done with everything that day, well, it's no big deal. You just, you know, open up the option to be able to do it later that next day or the next week. So in a way, it's a challenge for being able to learn and manifest mindfulness, which is what I've always decided is a kind of a practice that it can really benefit all of us.
Those are very wise words, Robert. I'm really hearing that it's not that unusual to get frustrated with this.
I do.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Yeah, but to just stop being concerned about the list, getting everything down on the list, and just say if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Not today.
Exactly. It wasn't meant to happen today. And I think the best thing I've learned how to do, if there's anything that has benefited me, is to, when I get into that place of racing and think, I've got to do this, and that happens to me all the time. I'm this person who's always racing from one thing to the next. What I've learned to do is to stop and to say, okay, wait a minute, slow down. What is it that I need to do next? And slow my body down, slow my mind down, slow my thinking down. And I might have, 20 different things that I really want to do, but what do I need to do next? And what I've discovered is if I just stop and then say, okay, wait a minute, I'm racing right now, I'm being frantic, I don't know what to do next, I slow down, I go into this very mild meditative state. I don't mean it's a deep one, but it's a mild meditative state. And I just then begin to say, okay, what would be the most important next activity for me to pursue? And I wait, and I see what kind of thoughts begin to emerge. And it's funny, I can really get a lot of clarity about, okay, this is the next best thing for me to do. I have the problem in Parkinson's recovery. I can do anything. I can teach any course. I can create any course. I can spend my time wherever I want to spend. I can write it books. I can do whatever I want to do. I can have different speakers on the radio show. So because the options for me are so broad, I really get frustrated because there are a lot of people I'd like to interview. I don't have time to interview everybody. There's only one of me. So how do I make decisions? And what I've learned to do is to slow down when I get a bit frantic and to say, okay, in terms of what I need to do in my work today and this week, what's the next best project for me to pursue? What do I need to do? And so, for example, in teaching, the kind of insights that I got for what I need to teach this summer was just one course, and that's Tame Tremors, nothing else, just the one course. I've got to do other work. So that helps me to settle down and to be more comfortable about the decision that I made. I can feel like, all right, that's a good decision. I'd like to be able to teach more, but the reality is I can't do more. I can only do the one course. So that's what I'll do, and I'll attend to the other kinds of things that need to be done. So I just want to emphasize in sort of a long roundabout way, Donna, that I really resonate with your frustration. I have it, and I think if we were to ask everybody here who are members of Parkinson's Recovery, I think everybody would say, yeah, me too. It's like, God, it's overwhelming. And, of course, because you got on the member websites that listing of the radio show interviews, like there are 260 radio show interviews, all these categories. I mean, okay, so are you going to go in there and listen to all of them? You can't. There's not enough time. Okay, you're going to listen to one of the interviews. Well, which one? What topic do you want to listen to? So it's the same choice every moment of your life. Where do you want to spend your time? What do you want to do? Where do you want to commit your resources and your energies? What are the healthcare professionals that you want to connect up with? How do you want to spend your time going to see them, if at all, et cetera, et cetera? So those are the decisions we have to make moment to moment. But I think the one thing that you can always say to yourself is the decisions I am making are perfect for me and my body moment to moment. So you can have that as a little mantra is whatever I'm deciding, it's the perfect decision for me in this moment and go from there.
Yeah, very good, Robert, very good. Good advice, because when we start spinning, we really don't get anywhere. But the fact of the matter is, so many of the things that I've learned through you have worked, and so I wanted to use all of them. It's just you can't do it. It's not possible to do all of them.
Not possible.
Yeah.
No way. So slow it down, and you're going to make perfect decisions for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You had a good program today. I liked your intro today.
Thank you, Donna.
good
information.
Appreciate
that.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you for being here today.
Okay, thanks to you, Robert. Bye.
Bye. And we have one more caller. Let me open up the line to Vonna. Vonna, hello. Are you there? Opening up the line, hoping we can connect to Vonna. Checking in, opening up the line, see if we can have a conversation with Vonna.
I had it on mute. Just a moment, please.
There you are. We can hear you.
I had it on mute.
Oh, right.
I was talking.
Well, we can hear you now.
You know, the question I had about that ME3,
yes.
What is its form of delivery? Is that through pills, liquid, powder? What is it?
No, it's a capsule.
Capsule.
So you can pour the capsule into water or food, or you can just take the capsule. It's just one a day.
What is the source of this?
You mean where does it come from?
They order it, yeah.
Well, you just order it from me. There is a company, but the company doesn't sell it directly. You can't actually go and order it from the company. The company sells it to people like myself, and I guess there's some pharmacies that are carrying it. Although it's so new, I doubt many you'll be able to get it from many different places. But we've got that listed on the website, ParkinsonsRecovery.com. There's a page that says glutathione, and it's listed there.
So basically what it helps you do is to make glutathione yourself, or it gives you glutathione.
That's right. It's a natural way for the body to produce and manufacture, which it can do anyway, but the difficulty is because of these neurological challenges, it's severely depleted. So it's the natural production, and the reason it turns out to be such a great idea is because it's naturally produced, it's not barred or blocked by the blood-brain barrier. So it just feeds the brain. So that's the reason why this is such a wonderful development. It doesn't have that obstacle. Like if you go to the supplement store and you've learned that you are glutathione deficient, you'll see there's glutathione supplements. You know, you can buy them in the supplement store. But guess what? You're really pouring money down the drain, so to speak, because your blood-brain barrier is going to block most of them. So the actual supplements are really not a good idea. Most people are aware of that, but not everybody. So what you want to do is to find other ways to get those infusions. And the IV infusions, that's great, but it's very expensive. And, of course, you have to actually go to a medical doctor's office once, twice, or three times a week. That's a lot of trouble. The nasal infusions, that's a great idea, too. That's a good technology, and that appears to be successful. But this one, I think, in the long run, might be one of the best ideas because all you have to do is to take this one capsule a day and you're producing it naturally.
So how do you know what your level is? Is there a lab test on that?
Whoa, that sounds like a medical doctor question. I have to say,
I'm talking to a medical doctor, my gosh.
I don't know. Help, I don't know. I assume there might be some kind of a test that you could find out for sure. I kind of say in a pretty broad and blanket way, the research is pretty compelling that if there is a diagnosis of Parkinson's when they've done these studies, the glutathione really is at the bottom of the barrel in terms of availability. So I almost am to the point where I sort of think it's a good idea for everybody to take it. But that's, I'm sure, not necessarily true. Some people are probably fine. So if there is a test, it might be a good idea to find out for sure.
So what's the price range of that?
I think the one box has 30 capsules that last a month. It's like $39 or $40, something like that, and then two boxes or whatever. It's, you know, a little less per box as you get more. So it's actually a better price than the liver RegActive liver detox that also includes a liver detox. So it's a reasonable price, something that I think is worth considering anyway.
Okay. And then about the CAN-C, you said if you're trying to avoid having cataract surgery, what if you already had cataract surgery?
So here's the deal with that. And now if you're saying if you have already had it, is this something you have already had?
Yeah, I already had the cataract surgery.
And are you having any subsequent issues with a little bit of difficulty with fuzzy seeing?
Yeah, my eyeballs are about to fall out on my cheeks.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand.
I said my eyeballs are about to fall out on my cheeks.
Oh, my goodness.
No, the only problem I had was sometimes I have sort of a crusty buildup in my eyelashes.
Oh. But you can see okay?
Well, I can see okay, but sometimes when I fall asleep in front of the TV and wake up, the TV sort of looks blurry until I bat my eyes for a while.
Oh.
And then what I do is I put my eyeballs back in the sockets.
Well, the issue with cataract surgery is, number one, it works for most people. It's a great option. Not all people. Some people have some serious contraindications and side effects. The actual difficulty is that after a person has cataract surgery, the underlying conditions that cause the cataracts are oftentimes still present. So what causes cataracts? The answer is inflammation. So for some people who get the surgery, they get the surgery, the next day they can see, they're excited, everything is clear and bright, and it's like successful idea, good decision. And then a couple of months later, they all of a sudden wake up in the morning and they can still see, it's pretty clear, but gosh, it's a little fuzzier, you know, and then a week later, it's even a little bit fuzzier. It begins to look like you're looking through Vaseline. Wait a minute, what's going on? Well, the problem is that the cataracts can reform after the surgery. And so you go back to your physician and you say, look, I don't know what's going on, but my vision is really blurry. They'll say, oh, we'll clean that up for you a little bit, which means they just go back and sort of repeat the surgery. So the kind of idea that I think is a good idea for people who've had the cataract surgery is to realize that the problem is inflammation. And even if you've got cataract surgery, you want to make sure that you keep the inflammation in your eyes under control. And that's something that the CAN-C does. It's actually the only thing the CAN-C eye drops do. And so for people that have had the cataract surgery already, I think it's a good idea to put one drop in each eye as a preventative every day, maybe not 7 days a week, but at least 5 days a week, so that you can make sure the inflammation is brought under control. And that means that your cataract, it's not going to reform even though you've got the surgery. So it's just it's a preventative for not having to go back in and, you know, have that surgery cleaned up again.
So you think maybe one drop in each eye?
Yeah, I would not do any more than one drop. You've had the surgery. Your vision is good. It sounds like there may be some issues there caused by some of the crusting that you're experiencing. So I think one drop might bring the problem of inflammation under control.
So, drop. Sometime I wake up in the morning and I got these little crusty things in my eyeballs. I think I'm eating up with candida.
Oh, it could be.
I think I've got a candida.
Right.
Because I've got a fungus in my toenail that I've had for, it's been my companion for about 10 years now, and I need to get rid of it.
Which toe is it?
It's my right big toe.
Yeah, it sounds like that's probably right. A fungus kind of a challenge, and so being able to address that would be helpful. Well, and so it sounds
but
like...
For the eyes, when I went to get my cataract surgery, I was told I had Fuchs dystrophy, which means that my corneas very likely may not survive the cataract surgery. But when I had the cataract surgery, it survived it, so they didn't have to do an implant.
Usually
for me to put in PNC, I just want to make sure it's a safe thing to put in my eyes, and it won't make me have to have a cornea transplant.
Oh, no, it's a safe, it doesn't have any side effects. It's a natural, it's got this one special grade of N-acetylcarnosine. You don't have to worry about side effects. It's not something you have to get from a medical doctor, so that's not really an issue. Usually the crusting in the morning is actually your body's ability to discharge some of the protein coagulations that are being created that actually cause the cataracts. So,
I had some crusty kind of medicine for a crust kind of stuff that an optometrist gave me.
Was that helpful?
She charged me $50 for the bottle. And then when I came to the end of that, I went back and bought another bottle. And then it's something that you can get through a pharmacist. So I went. After a while, they said, we were out of it. I think she just didn't want me to have a coming back. But it got rid of the crusty stuff in my eyes. But I went to a pharmacist, and they said they would fill it for $300.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to buy the stuff. But there's some other kind of little folded paper kind of things that you take out of a wrapper, and they're moist. Sort of like a wrap that you would use to wipe a baby's butt, but this is for eyes.
Yeah,
And so I've been using that every once in a while.
That sounds like a good idea. Oh. And you can use some eye saline condition just to cleanse out the eye. Do you do that?
Well, that I just take some water from the faucet and put it on a piece of cotton wad and rub the top of my eyeballs, because sometimes not the top of my eyeballs, but my eyelids. And sometimes I get real itchy with all this stuff matting up my eyelashes.
You know, you might want to go to the pharmacy and just get a sterile eye drop and begin using that to clean out the eyes a little bit, just to make sure that there's not any kind of extra stuff that you're putting in there. A sterile eye drop. You can just go to the pharmacy and say, what's the best sterile? It's just water, but it's sterile. And it'll make a good eye drop. A lot of people with contacts will all use that frequently because they have dry eye.
Yeah. Well, sometime my kid calls me and says, Mom, how are you doing? I said, just fine. He says, how are you doing? I said, just fine. And he said, if you say it just fine the third time, I know you're losing it.
And you have to say, yeah, well, that's right. I'm in denial, right?
And I said, yeah, that's right. And who are you?
Oh, goodness me.
So you mentioned a psychologist, and you said Stephen Fenwick or something?
Yes.
Is that who it is, Fenwick?
Yes, F-E-N-W-I-C-K. He's an energy psychologist, and he practices in Olympia, Washington, so he's actually a friend of mine and does wonderful work. But there are energy psychologists in many different cities, and you're in a large city, so I would be pretty sure you'd be able to find an energy psychologist there in your own local community.
Well, I was trying to just look up a homeopath. There wasn't anybody there.
Really? In Austin?
Yeah.
Look up a homeopath. That's a surprise. But there's a website that lists psychologists that emphasize energy psychology. And so you can go and you can look at the listing. I mean, it's not a huge, long listing, but there should be somebody from Austin, I would think.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you could always contact Dr. Fenwick and see... say again?
How do I contact him?
Well, I can send you an email address of his, and you know, you could, or his phone number, whatever, and you could contact him that way. I'm not sure he'll do a long distance session if he hasn't actually seen you personally, but you can always ask him. or ask them if you've got anybody.
You're not that much into the nasal glutathione then?
Oh, no, I think that's a good idea. I didn't want to come across as saying that it's not. I think Dr. Nishley has found good results with that. You have to have a prescription for it. You can't just go into the pharmacy and say, I want a nasal glutathione. So you have to have a doctor that knows about it and will, you know, give you a prescription.
I could check on that later.
Yeah,
so I found out
a way
to check to see if you have candida. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
When you wake up in the morning, before you put anything in your mouth, you conjure up some spit. You get a glass of water, clear, and put it in a clear glass, and you spit on the top of the water. And you'll be able to watch, just let it sit there on the counter, make sure nobody drinks it. And if the spit stays floating on the top, then you're not as inclined to have candida. But if the spit starts to string down towards the bottom of the jar or the glass, then you most likely are a candidate, a person who has candida.
And you've done that test?
Yeah, I've spit in a jar and it strings to the bottom.
So guess what? You got that problem. Well, that's a great idea
for
everybody listening. Now, you know, you need to go right after we hang up here in just a bit. And
not
in the water.
Hang on.
Oh, you have to do it in the morning.
No.
In the morning when
you
wake up.
Up in the morning when you've got.
That's right.
When you've got the taste in your mouth, it tastes like the bottom of a bird cage.
Yes, that's right. Spit then, and then see whether.
Don't do anything. Don't brush your teeth. Don't put any water in there. Don't take any food. Just walk straight to the kitchen and get a glass that's down towards the bottom. You can see where it's going, what it's doing. And hike up some spit and spit it right on top of the water. If you had treated water, that'd be good.
Right. Well, that's a wonderful idea.
First, I thought mine started to float, but then I came back and checked it later, and it started stringing down towards the bottom.
Well, in the end, as I understand it, the best thing that you can do to reduce the overgrowth of candida in your body is to eliminate sugar, because that's what they feed on.
Oh, yeah.
So being able to eliminate sugar, and when I say sugar...
Teresa, I'm going to go eat some candy right in a few minutes.
Right. Well, and that's not the only sugar that we're talking about. You know, you get sugar from fruits, you get sugar from carbs, you get sugar from protein, so... Sugar comes from all over the place. It's just a question of reducing the intake so that you can begin to get that population of candida better under control.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my contribution for this morning.
Ivana, thank you so much. You've got a great suggestion. I hope everybody here in the group, in the morning when you wake up, before you brush your teeth, spit in that glass of water, see if candida is an issue, and if it is... adopt a candida diet. There's a lot of diets recommended for candida reduction on the internet. The best idea I've got for you is reduce your intake of sugar, and that'll make a big difference in terms of your success with being able to get that under control. And for those of you thinking, well, wait a minute, what does candida have to do with Parkinson's? I interviewed really a scientist, Lydia Ipp, about 10 years ago, and her story was that candida was the primary contributor of her Parkinson's symptoms, and once she was able to get that under control, her symptoms resolved. So candida is huge, and take it seriously. Don't think it's just a dietary issue. It can really wreak havoc with lots of different systems in your body. So we've had a chance to address the two questions that were submitted. We don't have any additional questions or topics suggested in the chat room, and no Q&As to be able to respond to. I've had a chance to connect in with those of you who called in to say hello, how are you, and that's been quite delightful in terms of the discussions that we've had. So thanks for being here on our July 2019 support group gathering for Parkinson's recovery. Let me invite all of you a hearty invitation to be sure to visit the websites every day. We spend a lot of time in posting the new input on all of those websites. check in with the meditations. We've got radio show interviews that are all posted. So there's a wealth of resources there. And especially as we talked some today about the difficulty of maintaining positive thoughts that are conducive to your health and wellness, that's what those websites are all about. So when you're feeling gloomy, down and out, depressed, and discouraged about the progress of your recovery program, go to the websites and begin to click into the various member websites. Read one of the jokes, and hopefully you'll think it's funny and laugh, and you'll instantly feel better because your body will instantly make lots of dopamine. We've got all sorts of mind challenges. We've got the quotes, a little inspirational quote from lots of different people. Even Groucho Marx had a quote last week. So we've got lots of different inspirational, uplifting, positive kinds of inputs for you to hold you on your journey down the road to recovery. We look forward to connecting with you next month, August, the last Monday at 12 noon Pacific time. Thanks so much for being a member of Parkinson's Recovery and supporting all of the work that we do here to support the successful journey of individuals currently experiencing neurological challenges. And that's what's happening here on the shores of the, you guessed it, Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and all of the children are profoundly loved. Know that by the simple little fact that you are a Parkinson's Recovery member, that you are participating in this support group, that you are visiting the websites, that you, like all of the other members, are successfully journeying down the road to recovery in your own time, in your own way, and your own pace. Congratulate yourself for the good work that you have done this month, and look forward to a successful journey in the coming weeks. Robert Rogers, founder of Parkinson's Recovery, thanks so much. Let me know how else I can provide support for you on your journey.